Message number 265. The title of the message: Taking the Right Decision, Part 8. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 27, and let's read from verse 1 to verse 12. But David thought to himself, one of these days I'll be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best things I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David and the 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath with Achish. Each man had his own family with him, and David has his two wives, Anoim of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns, that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day Achish gave him Ziklag, and it has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. David lived in Philistine. David lived in Philistine territory 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Jezites, and the Amalekites. From ancient times, these people had lived in the land extended to Shur and Egypt. Whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle and donkeys and camels and clothes. Then he returned to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where did you go raiding today?" David would say, "Against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jerahmeel, or against the Negev of the Kenites." He did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought they might inform on us and say, "This is what David did." And such was his practice as long as he lived in Philistine area. Achish trusted David and said to himself, "He has become so obnoxious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant forever." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, O God, to anoint this time, to anoint your word, and anoint my lips, and anoint the ears of your people. Put words and statement in my lips so that your people understand your will, and will help them to come before you in repentance, understanding your will, understanding your ways, with full humility in their heart, so that they will bring the fruit that you desire to see in their life. Oh God, I do pray in the name of Jesus. Oh God, you take this message and make it reach those who are in need of this word of yours. Oh God, to make sense for them that they had gone into wrong direction and they need to come back to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you have the purpose of sending this message. I pray that your purpose will be prevailed and you will reap the harvest, and the purpose of your heart shall be accomplished in sending this word. of yours to your church and to your people. We thank you, God, and we bless you, and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you know that King David was anointed as king of Israel, but he was threatened by Saul, the previous anointed king, and the Saul was having all the facility, the army with him, and the whole country under his care. And he was using all these resources to try to capture David and to finish his life. David, with that person that he was facing and with the threat of being destroyed every day, he thought himself to escape to the land of the Philistines. The solution that he resolved to do, as we have read, you know, it seems so logical and so reasonable and so considerate decision. And if you will read, as we have read the scripture above, there are certain points support the decision of David. And every now and then, you know, when you face certain troubles in your life, you know, you start to think in a very logical way and reasonable way and logical way, and you put a lot of support to your decision. As here, as we're going to put points to support the decision of David, you know, if you are under the threat, the first thing you need to think or to do is to protect yourself, and that's correct. And what and how you will protect yourself? You will move away from the source of the threat, and that's what David did. David was followed by Saul, who was moving with his whole forces to do that, to threaten him to execute David, to finish his life. Therefore, David, who would not be able to afford to face Saul and fight with him, resolved to move away from him and escape to the land of the Philistine. David concluded in this manner. You know, how he concluded that if I will go to the area of the Philistines, then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. And it truly, that is the right way of thinking, and that is the right thought. And if you read verse 4 of what we have read, it worked. Verse 4 we have read, then when Saul was told that David had fled to God, he no longer searched for him. So these are the things, you know, that support the decision of David. The next point. In verse 2 we have read that David and the 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Maokuk, king of Gath. And we know that he and his men, David and his men, they received settlement. Not only for themselves, but also for their families, their children. David and his men in verse 3 settled in Gath with Achish. Each man had his family with him, and David has his own wives. Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. So they were given a good facilities and accommodation and settlement and privileges. And that is how much of you think, you know, when you are about to think and you see, you think about the privilege that you are going to take, and you see how much blessing you are receiving, and then you say, that is, I think that is the will of God, and that is, I think that I am correct. Not only that, the third point that we're going to discuss that support the thought and the decision of David, that he and his men, they received the favor of the king, King Achish, king of Gath. You know, he gave them a city, and he gave them a separate place to live. You know, verse 5, we have read that David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns, that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day Achish gave him Ziklag, and it has belonged to the king of Judah ever since. David lived in the Philistine territory a year and 4 months. You see here, you say that we ask favor and our favor was answered. So that is then, it is God's will then, and that is the right thought that we are thinking and we are taking forward. Not only that, you know, the next point, that David's ministry continue, and with much blessing coming to David and his men every day. In verse 7 and 8, that they stay there 1 year and 4 months, and David and his men, they went up and raided many group of people of the non-believers that the Lord had given their lands to them, to the Israelites. So David needs to continue also. Not only that, in verse 9, whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle, donkeys and camels and clothes. Then he returned to Achish. So there's a material blessing also had been added to David and to his men when he thought to move away from Saul. And see, all things had worked beautifully for him. Now at this point, with all this confirmation and all this, that it seemed that what David thought and decided was correct and had come from God. But let us continue to read and meditate further. You know, in verse 10 of what we have read, say that when Achish asked, where did you go raiding today? You would keep asking David every day. David would say, against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jerameh, or against the Negev of the Kenites. And we know that is not correct. So David start to tell lies. He put himself in a situation that he need to tell lies in each and every day in order to protect himself. And not only one time to lie, but every day, that's his practice. And he also teaches men to tell lies. Of course, he teaches wives. He teaches children also to tell lies in order to live. Now, if that decision correct, he does not need to tell lies. And more than this, the next point that we want to discuss in verse 12, you know, that Achish trusted David and said to himself, he has become so obnoxious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant for life. He even said that he will be my servant for life. So here, David was enslaved to an unbeliever, to the devil. Now, he was controlled. You see here the pros and cons of the decision of what David did. At the beginning, it's all rewarding things, but now we are discovering work of devil and slavery and bondages now. And let's read further, and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 1 and 2. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. David said, then you will see for yourselves what your servant can do. Achish replied, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Now David and his men were put in a situation that they were called to stand with the Philistines to fight against Israel and the army of Israel. Initially they said that they were asking God to give them king so that he would lead them and fight their battles against their enemies. And one of the fiercest enemy that Israel were facing is the Philistine. Now David was anointed after Saul to be a king in order to fight Israel battle against the against their enemies, and one of the most common ones is the Philistines. Now David, with the decision that he made to protect himself from the hands of Saul, found himself in a position that he is serving devil and was enslaved to devil, and that was against God and against God calling and against the mercy that God had asked him and entrust to him to do. You know, certain decision you take in your life, it seems so logical and so realistic, that decision, and it will bring even good outcome at the beginning, but later on, as we have seen in the story of King David, later on lies of devil and destruction will come into your life. The good decision that you had taken was not a good decision because it was not of God, and you did not inquire of God about it. And that what David did, and that was his mistake that he fall in. David, when he took that decision, did not inquire of the Lord. He relied on his own thoughts and understanding. David, he always, he always used to inquire of God before any decision he is taking. He go to the priest and ask him to inquire of God for him. But in this decision, he failed to ask God's will, and he did not go to the priest to inquire of him by the effort. Many of you who listen now, many of you take decision without proper inquiring from God and take the approval of the church that God had placed you in. Many of you go with your own plan and arrangement without coming back to God and to us and to me and to us as a church for inquiring and asking God's will and God's approval. This is why so much mishaps and troubles and heartaches going on in your life. You know, many good decisions that you have taken, it is good externally, but of devil and human origin, human wisdom internally. And later on, and maybe even now, we are facing the consequence of that wrong decision. Let's go back to David to understand further things about the consequence of that decision. So here now he was called to fight against Israel. At this point, when Achish, the king of God, he told him, "I will make your body my bodyguard the whole life." Whole life he will be in bondage of devil. But God had mercy on him. You know, and God had mercy also on you. In addition to what had happened to David, to his mistakes and shortcomings, God had mercy on him. He realized, I believe that David, he realized, but he did not repent. Many of you realize your mistake, but still, you know, you are reluctant and you are testing the Spirit of God and testing the patience of God. Which time I will repent? God had mercy on David, and God also disciplined him and made him pay the consequence of this shortcoming. You know, when God had mercy on us, when God had mercy on you, he will make a way for you to be delivered, but he will discipline you as well, and he will make you pay the consequence of your shortcoming. How God had mercy on David, God did not allow him to go to the to go with the Philistines to fight Israel. Because we know that if David would go with the Philistine, he will lose his ministry and he will lose the post to become a king over Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 29 verse 1 onward, 1 to 11, God allowed that the kings of the Philistines, they will not allow David to go with them. Let's read now. And that's how God showed mercy to David. God stopped him. And sometimes God will use non-believer or the church or believer to stop you. That's for your own good. The Philistine gathered all their forces at Afik, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine ruler marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marched at the rear with Achish. The commanders of the Philistine asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year, and from the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." You see now, David and his men, they are well recommended among the Philistines as a good soldier for the enemy. You see here, how you are putting yourself in a very embarrassing situation. You are serving the devil now, and you are proud of it. But God is merciful. That's why he sends his word to his church and to his people on time, to lead you to repentance. Come back. Verse 4, but the Philistines' commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place you assign him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousand and David his tens of thousands." So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives." He is swearing by the name of the Lord. You see here, even the non-believer, the wicked, they will swear in the name of the Lord, but in vain. But my point here, David, why you put yourself in such a place? "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable." So David is telling David, "Oh, you have been very good man for me, and I would be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until today, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers don't approve of you." So he's telling him good recommendation. "You are so nice. You are serving with me very nicely. Now turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistines' rulers. But what have I done?" asked David. "What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now?" David now, he's telling why like that. Actually, he was happy from inside. He was happy that he was asked to go back, because he knew that he cannot fight against Israel, against Saul. David, who was not willing even to cut the edge of the clothes of the robe of Saul, how he will fight against Saul. He know that. And he was happy now. "Why cannot go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Achish answered, "I know that you have been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said, you must not go up with us into battle. Now get up early along with your master's servants who have come with you, and leave in the morning as soon as it is light." So David and his men get up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistine, and the Philistine went up to Jezreel. God had mercy on David and saved him this problem. He stopped him so that he will not be disqualified from being a king over Israel. You know, this is God's mercy. If somebody rebuke you, stop you, if we hinder you from doing certain things, God will use certain people to hinder you while you are heading wrong. Don't be angry, but be glad. Rejoice that God has still make a way for you to repent. If David would engage with that battle against Israel, he will disqualify himself. But God, who had mercy on David and has mercy on you, is the same God who will discipline David and discipline you. God disciplined David really and made him pay the consequences of his sin. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 6, verse 3, David and his men raised the flag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burnt it, and had taken captive the woman and every one else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. See, God mercy here. He disciplined David, but he did not kill anyone. He did not allow anyone to die of their families. He disciplined David and all the men with him, because they knew what is wrong, what they were doing. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Now they are crying. Now they are crying. When God will send the discipline on you, this is the time you will cry. Before that, still, you are playing a drama like David. You know wrong, but still you persist in your own wrong way. Verse 5, David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. Now, the situation is very serious now. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in his spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Now here now the situation. He's now realized after he saw what had happened to him and his family, and now he knew that what he did was his own wrong decision. His own decision. It was a wrong decision. You know, while David was in the territory of Israel, he was threatened and fought by Saul. That's correct. But nothing wrong had happened to him, because he was under God's protection. Yes, Saul was after him, but God was protecting him. But when he stepped out without God's approval and without God's direction, then he became liable to be destroyed. The point here, you must understand, in every situation that you are passing through, even threat or problems, as long you are under God's protection, you will be protected. If the Lord would not lead you to do anything else, then God wants you to stay, and he will be the one to protect you. In the same way, you know, David did not inquire of God before he left Saul. Or I believe that if he would inquire of God, the Lord will lead him to do a certain things. He will assure him, maybe, or he will tell him to move to a certain area. But David took his own decision because he was motivated by his own thought and emotion. And now, here we are. David without his wives. The men with him, they want to stone him because they are without his wife and their children. Now, when all this had happened to David, this time he humbled down and repented. How he humbled down and how he repented before God and before God's authority, the priest. If you read verse 7 and 8, then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. The ephod here to inquire of the Lord. Now here's the point here. Why he did not do it before? Why he did not humble himself before God and the priest and inquire of me? The priest is with him. Verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. See, God wants him to come back to this point. As he humbled down, God helped and finally he enabled him to restore what he had lost and got more plunder that more than what he lost. See, the purpose of God, he wants to teach David and he wants to teach you that don't take your own decision and after that you ask me to bless you or to bless that decision. No, God will not bless any decision you have taken alone. God will bring you to repentance. And the message today is this. Taking right decision, it depends only when you come back to God and the way you show it, you inquire of God and with the body of Christ. Some people they say, I follow God, I also follow Christ. Christ has body, that is the church today. We cannot say that we follow Christ but we don't follow his body, the church. And the church has the word of God and we go along the word of the Lord and we inquire and the Lord will lead us to victory to restore. But it's not too late. David inquired of the Lord and he told him you go and he gave him the right direction. And finally David and his men recovered everything and they got much plunder and they also take their things and also get the plunder and send also gifts and they become a blessing to other people. Now you hear the message. How about you now? Do you have a plan to repent and come back to God and His church and open your life to be counseled and to be directed by God through church? You need to do it now. Which place you are? You are in the place of getting the favor and getting the privileges and getting the plunder and you want to go more, or you are now into the position you are serving the devil utterly, or you are called to be slaved, or you are waiting for Ziklag disaster to come on you as had happened to David. You need to repent. Don't wait for further troubles and calamities. God in His mercy has sent this word of Him to you to bring you back to Him. You need to repent. You know, after the experience that David learned and applied in his life, he understood that I need to inquire of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1 to 3, after death of Saul, in the course of time David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked. The Lord said, go up. God approved him. Go up. David asked, where shall I go? Now he understood now. He cannot do his own. Oh, God say you go. Any place I like. No. Which town? which place? Which place? Where shall I go? To Hebron. The Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Anab of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and his town. You know, see here, this is the right way. Time for you to humble down before God and His church and learn to lead your life in the fear of the Lord. Come, before you take any decision, before you move, before you lose your job, before you resign, before you choose a woman to marry, you come and ask advice. Ask God's counsel so that you will be settled. You will be blessed. You know, David, when he learned to fear God and apply the principles of God's word and will, he was blessed. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 4 say that then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. You see, when David inquired of the Lord, the Lord directed him to go and sit in Hebron, and there he sent the elders of Judah to anoint him as king over the tribe of Judah. You know, it's very clear to me that if David had just waited upon God and did not go to the territory of the Philistines, the Lord himself would remove Saul and put him in his state, as God ultimately did. The same for you today. If you had listened to God and you have accepted our advices and our instruction to you, then you will be no more in much hassle or in much troubles. 1 year and 4 months, David did a lot of things wrong and not according to God's will. And he was about at the brim of destruction, he and his family. Now here the point, God's mercy. Let us use God's mercy now. Let us humble down. Please, do not do your own and make your own decision and make your work double. And please do not say that I do not understand your situation and what you are passing through. The solution is still the same. You need to come back to God and to His church and repent and acknowledge the futility of your ways, so we can together hear God's voice and direct you to do God's will, so that you recover the losses, get restored, and get used properly by the Lord back to your ministry and the service that God had ordained for you to do and to be. Come to the Lord, humble down, still in your hands, still early. Tell Him, Lord, I repent of my sin, that I did not inquire of You and I did not acknowledge the church that You had placed me in as an aid to me, to help me to take the right decision in my life. Lord, I repent, I humble down before You and before Your church. Lord, lead me and restore me, God, and help me, Lord, to recover what I lost. Lord, I want to be restored. I want to be promoted as You had promoted David to where You had ordained me to be, O God. Lord, I come for repentance. I ask You, Lord, lead me. Guide me, O God. I pray You help us as a church to direct those who are coming back, Lord, to You, to direct them and help them and instruct them with Your will and Your plan and what is Your good future, O God, for them. I pray, Lord, the place that they have went out, make a way, as You have made way for David. When he inquired, You direct him to Hebron And there he was restored back to the anointing and to the ministry and to the, his calling. I pray in the same way, those who are coming back, repenting, direct us as a church to work with you so they will be restored and they will continue to serve you. Oh God, I pray that this message will reach those who are really in need of it, and those who are praying and those who are asking advice. Let this message be used for them so they will be restored and they will be once again used by you to bring the fruit that you desire to see in their life, the life of their families, and the life of your church. Oh God, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hand with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.